Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The coronavirus crisis has impacted health worldwide, but it has also delivered a crushing blow to the economic health of the planet. Everyone has been impacted. Everyone. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about your personal finances in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. What do you need to do and what do you need to know to keep your head above water for however long this lasts? My guest is Deborah Owens. She's a financial expert, author of A Purse of Your Own, and founder and CEO of Wealthy You. Lines are open if you have questions about your personal finances amid the coronavirus crisis. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Deb, good to hear from you again. How are you?
Always a pleasure to be on your airways with you, Harold.
Let's start with the news of the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is nearing where it was when President Trump took office. The index plunged 1,338 points to 19,899 today. That's about 33% less than it was on February 19th, where it stood at 29,348. It is not good. How do we keep from worrying about our retirement investments with numbers like that?
Well, it is. You know, the first thing I want to acknowledge is that you have every right to feel anxious. And in the past couple of weeks, Harold, as I was thinking about this current climate, I started in the industry in the late 80s, right? So I've been doing this for quite some time. And it made me think about 1987. Similarly, the market declined about 31%. But then, you know, the market wasn't at 30,000. It was only at like 2,000. But what I would say is that we're in uncharted territory, because at the end of the day, this is not an economic crisis. It's a health crisis. And going into this, if you had looked at the economy, what you would have seen was that unemployment was low, housing starts were up, people were kind of, the market was up, and now what you have is uncertainty. And uncertainty really, more than anything, is what's impacting this market. And so as I thought about, I have a Wealthy You community on Facebook where we talk and I do all these Facebook lives, and so I'm always interested in hearing how the average person is feeling. And the truth is that, to answer your first question as it relates to your retirement, your personal finance, your investment, I would just say this. Prepare, but don't panic. Because a couple of things are happening now very quickly. And what we're seeing is, you know, I'm from Detroit, GM, Ford, Chrysler, Fiat, they basically have shut down their operations in order to clean their facilities. So you've got people being furloughed. You also see that in the travel industry. And so what I would say to everyone listening on these airwaves this evening is prepare. And so, you know, there are five things I think you really need to be thinking about. And that is, number one, to make sure that you can operate, you know, your basic essentials. And so one thing I want to say to folks is, listen, get the basic essentials that you need and all those extraneous things that you have, those memberships, those subscriptions, all of those things, you need to be looking through your bank statement right now and looking at what are non-essential things that I'm using that I don't need so that I can preserve cash.
Okay.
Secondly, I would say, is for many people, I mean, the business community, and I'm a small business owner, the first thing I'm thinking of is, okay, you know, what have I not committed to yet because I want to preserve my cash? I think, and that's exactly what big businesses are doing. So if you have any inkling that you could be furloughed, or in some cases, you know, let go, then you need to immediately, as soon as you get wind of it, if it happens, file for unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would say as well is, you know, let's be creative. And what are some of the things that you can do in this environment? So much has went online, you know. Most of my clients where I'm going to do, you know, I was hired and already paid to do presentations and workshops. Well, guess what? I'm doing them online on a webinar, and it actually works better for them because many of their employees, more of their employees will be able to access that information online. So what are some of the things that you can do to be industrious? Do you have things around your household that perhaps you could be selling online? There's apps like Poshmark, where if you look in your closet, I'm sure you've got plenty of clothing, and guess what? You can take a picture of it, put it online, and then ship it off to whoever buys it. And so I think what we must understand, because this is uncharted territory, that there are going to be some adaptations, and it's going to fundamentally change the way we do business and the way we work.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Hold on for a minute, Deb. Hold on, please. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about your personal finances amid this coronavirus crisis. What can you do to get a handle on your money? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to give you a break here, Deb. I want to go to a phone call. Donnell calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Donnell. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon to y'all, my favorite station.
Thank you so much.
No problem. The first was, I like to piggyback on this statement that she just made about finding things to do, because like I ultimately had to already enact that like immediately. So I use the site called OfferUp, and I use stuff within my shed that I don't need, but I've also been able to make a couple bucks because I have elder neighbors as a single, you know, family homeowner. I have neighbors who are older than myself and they won't come out. So they ask me because I'm 52. Hey, why you going out? Can you pick up such and such? And they gave me a few bucks. But my call to you guys was, how do we survive? Like myself as a past military personnel, I really survive in life now because I was injured in the military. I was in the Navy for 12 years. And now that during this crisis, I receive a payment. And like, I'm wondering when it comes time for that, will I actually even receive any of my benefits?
That's interesting that you should mention that, Donnell, because the Secretary of Veterans Affairs was talking about that very thing today, about trying to keep you know, services and benefits for veterans going. And of course, and Deb, you can certainly speak to this because this also has to do with, you know, one of the other questions that we're going to be addressing tonight is this $1.5 trillion economic stimulus package where they're going to be checks going out. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But right now, Deb, it does seem as if people like Donnell and others who are receiving those benefits, that doesn't seem to be an issue right now.
Exactly.
No, and I, you know, just to quell anybody's alarms, I mean, the major problem that needs to be addressed is this health crisis, right? Like, you know, you're rich if you, as someone said today, you're rich if you got your health, but, you know, so until we deal with that, I think it was actually Governor Cuomo of New York. And so I would not be concerned about receiving benefits from the federal government. That I would not be concerned about. So, but what I am concerned about is for the average person who is working and their livelihood. So thank you for your service is the first thing I want to say. And I applaud you for your industriousness in seeing that, you know, there is a way to perhaps create some additional income for yourself by helping others. And that's exactly what where we have to be right now, is that we're all in this together. You know, what can we do to, you know, to still live with one another as until we actually see what's going to happen with this coronavirus.
Donnell, thank you so much for your phone call. And again, as Deb said, thank you for your service. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about your personal finances amid the coronavirus pandemic. What do you need to do to keep a grip on your money? If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deb, you were talking about some 5 points. You talked about three already. What are the other two?
So I talked about focus on the essentials, right? Is it a need or a want? And basically, as I look at it right now, a need is food and shelter. You know, unemployment could be a possibility in many cases. And, you know, last but not least, be proactive. If you are laid off, and then you need to be proactive with your creditors and calling them and saying, hey, you know, I was laid off because my industry was impacted by the coronavirus. You know, I'm calling you because, of course, I'm not going to have the income until I find more employment, and that's going to be challenging. What can I do? So I really want for folks to be proactive. And then the other thing I want to talk about is really this market decline, right? So I want for folks to understand that they really need to assess their overall investment portfolio. And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody's an aggressive investor when the market's going up. But this is really when you learn what your risk tolerance is. And so whatever money that you have in stocks or stock mutual funds in this current environment, we've already seen it decline by 31%. And in some cases, we could see it decline, you know, down to 50%, you know, just based on all the uncertainty. But, you know, the point I want to make is that I said decline. I didn't say lose. So you do not actually lose until you sell. And so to that end, I really want to call people's attention back to 2008 when, you know, very similar kinds of anxiety. But in that case, it was a financial crisis. But what happened is many people ran from the exit at the worst possible time, and then they never saw that growth in their portfolio. And so the point really is, what portion of your portfolio do you feel comfortable having exposed and knowing that it's, at some point it is going to decline like this? And then that's how much you should have exposed. But what I would say is somebody who's got gosh, it was kind of scary saying it, but over, who's been doing this for over 30 years, that, you know, what you really must understand is for most folks, you're first generation investors. And so, meaning that you didn't have a parent or somebody, a wealth manager or a trust fund who can give you perspective. And for many folks, you're investing through your retirement plan. So in these market declines that we've seen in the past, you know, kind of started in February, if you look at your statements, what you're going to see is that you're buying your shares of those front funds at much lower prices now. And over time, that's going to average out. But the most important thing to understand is how comfortable are you going to feel staying in? Because that's really the point, is over time, consistently investing and allowing the market to work for you. Okay. Knowing that, you are going to experience it times like these.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about your personal finances. What to do amid this coronavirus crisis? What do you do about your money? What do you do about your savings and the like? We're going to be taking your questions on the other side of this break. That includes Mary calling from D.C., Ty calling from Maryland. Stay with us. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep calling. We promise we will take your phone call. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your personal finances in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. What do you need to do to keep your head above water for however long this takes? My guest is Deborah Owens, financial expert and author of A Purse of Your Own, and she's also founder and CEO of Wealthy You. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Mary. Mary calling from D.C. Maryland, Mary, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Can the lady that was on radio, is she there?
Yeah, she's there. Go right ahead, Mary.
Okay,
what's your question?
I wanted to know, I'm a widow.
Okay.
And I'm 77 years old. My husband died years ago.
Turn your radio down for me, Mary, please.
Okay, I'm on a fixed income here.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to know if this is going to interfere with me getting my check. I usually get a check on the third of the month.
Yes.
And I wanted to know if this is going to interfere because that's the only income that I have coming in.
Deborah?
Yes, and we addressed that with the last caller. The veteran, the people that are receiving their benefits from the federal government, I would not be concerned or panic about that. If they can put $1 trillion into the financial system, clearly they can pay the benefits of widows as well as our veterans.
Yeah. There you go, Mary. And one of the other things that happened just today, and by the standards of Capitol Hill lawmakers, this stuff has been happening with literally lightning speed. There was an economic relief package that the president is going to sign. It was passed by the Senate today. It was passed by the House, I believe it was yesterday. This stuff is happening very, very quickly because lawmakers, not only our federal lawmakers, but our local lawmakers realize the seriousness of this, and that is why they are moving so quickly to help shore up the economic situation here in the country. So I don't believe that there's going to be an issue as it relates to retirement checks for military, pensions coming from the federal government and the like, as well as Social Security. Where we are right now, I think that is the least of your concerns. You should be okay. But thank you so much for listening and giving us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ty calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Ty. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have two questions, and they're definitely related. The first question is about the $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever the amount, the final amount will be that's going to American households. First of all, I mean, do we really think we're going to get all that out in April? And then tied to that is the whole issue of rent and utility payments being suspended. I think folks need to understand that suspended is not canceled, right? So my understanding, and there's been bits and pieces and a lot of information, but my understanding is that those are just suspended. But if you're not getting wages during this time, right, and then let's say the chicken comes, you know, by May 31st, June 1st, the evictions are back on, foreclosures, et cetera, then how is that a relief? That's the first part. And then the second question that I have, which is kind of something that was, I guess, happened during the press conference today. I don't know if you guys saw it. Sounds like you did. But there was a question about how athletes and celebrities have been tested so quickly. And, you know, what does that say for, you know, regular Joe, who also needs to be tested, and why access has been granted so quickly to those? And the response by the president was basically,
it happens.
Hey, it's all about inequality.
Yeah, that's, so well, yeah, that's what he said. And that's, excuse me, let's take that first, that last question first. Basically, the president said it happens. He kind of glossed over it. He did not address it. And to your point, Ty, yes, I did see the press conference. We've been, mm-hmm. you know, here in our newsroom, that is almost all we've been doing, local and federal press conferences from all quarters. But he really did not address it, and he did not have an answer. Neither did anyone from his administration. And I believe that that is something that we will see in the coming weeks. And when I say coming weeks, I think that there will be an answer or some kind of addressing of that issue. Thank goodness for the White House press corps, as well as the other, media that are going to be on that piece. But, you know, to the other point, Deb, I'll let you ask, you know, answer the first question about that, about delayed payments being allowed by utility companies, mortgages, and the like.
Yeah, well, I do think, you know, if you just look at how things are set up, so the larger the organization, and the more, capital the more wherewithal they have, they are going to be able to extend, some grace, right? Like, so if it's your utility, you know, they're regulated, you know, perhaps larger mortgage companies. But I think when it gets down to the private, owners, it's going to be a little bit more difficult because they're not going to have the kind of wherewithal. So I do think, going back to the point that I was making early, is that if you are going to be in a situation where you can't meet your obligations, that you really need to be communicating to whether it's your landlord, utility owner, creditor. That's important. You know, and the other point she made was just around these checks that are going to be coming to individuals. So they're trying to spur the economy, right? Because if you get it into the hands of average folk, they're more likely to spend. And so that's one way of spurring economic activity. You know, the question is going to become, how are they going to, who's going to actually receive that, right? So are they going to use means testing, like if you're making over 100,000, you don't get as much, or that sort of thing. So all that's going to be ironed out. I mean, I probably know as much as anyone else. The point I want to make to your audience, Harold, is to control what you can, right? Be proactive and be thinking more strategically about the ways that you can reduce your expenses and make sure that your basic needs are being met.
One other thing, Ty, that you may want to focus on, and we don't know how all of this is going to work out as far as the suspension of payments and the like, but you may remember last summer, this happened in Baltimore, when Baltimore's computer system, the city's computer system, the municipal computer system was hit with a computer virus and was it was a computer virus attack, and the city of Baltimore was being held hostage. And the reason I know so much about this is because I live in Baltimore. And what was happening was we were not getting water bills. And what the city was saying was that the suspended water bills, you could continue to send them in, but they would have to be mailed in. And a lot of people did not do that. And full transparency, there were a couple of months when I didn't do it either. And what happened to that was when they were able to clear the virus out, and it took several months, I got a bill. It was a big bill. What happened was that the city of Baltimore said they're not going to be shutting off your water as long as you were making payments.
Mm-hmm.
But and that was in certainly nothing compared to what we're seeing now with the coronavirus pandemic. But that was a computer virus that stopped Baltimore City from conducting its business. And when it got back up, they didn't cut off water to those who were making those payments. And some of us are certainly blessed in that you were able to make that one lump sum payment when that bill came in. Others had to kind of split it up, but you had to do something. That is possible. I'm not saying that it will happen. But Deb, and you can speak more to the point about what was happening during the Great Recession, when mortgage companies were forced to make some concessions as well. And as we remember, not all of those
mortgage companies
weren't doing a lot of that. And so, you know, that's something that we really have to address here.
Yeah, and so that's a great example. And that's one of the points that was being made as they began to think about what specific tactics they were going to use to put this money into the system. Not to get too technical, but there was TARP, and one of the things that the federal government actually lent money to these big corporations. A lot of people felt like they were bailed out,
but they paid
the
it
auto
back.
Companies,
that money was
yeah,
paid,
they paid
back.
It back.
Yeah,
and made a profit. And so, I guess the point that I'm making is, folks, don't panic, but control what you can. And then continue to listen and see what you need to do to adapt to the current economic circumstance.
Ty, thank you so much for your thoughtful question. I appreciate your phone call. I want to talk a little bit more about what Ty was saying. Okay, we still don't know how much these checks are going to be for if they're coming from the federal government. And it seems almost a sure thing. Obviously, it has not been done yet. But the way that the president is talking, and the House and Senate has been discussing it, and they've been moving so very, very quickly, it may very well happen. We don't know if we're going to talk about $1,000 or $2,000 in two checks, more or less. We do not know. Let's say, Deborah, for the sake of argument, that you receive two $1,000 checks, one in April and then one in May. What should you do with that money?
Good question. I mean, the point I'm making is you really want to preserve as much cash as you can. So if anything, what I would suggest to people, unless they have significant cash reserves, is to put that money in a savings account, in a money market, something very liquid, so that if you need to get to it in this current environment, you do have something more of a cushion. You know, the study came out, they did a survey last year. I think the Treasury may have done it, and that the average household had less than $400 in an emergency savings account. So I would say now is a good start. And for many people, what that those extra dollars are going to do is help them to kind of take care of the basic essentials as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about your finances in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. What do you do with your money? So the one of the issues that it come up on my Facebook page today, I had a bit of a debate with a friend of mine where you have business versus health. You pick what is important. And as you said, the governor of New York was saying, well, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. She was saying that if you don't have a place to live, then it doesn't matter. But what we have seen today is that, for example, 200 malls and retail shopping centers owned by, I believe it was the Simon Company, are shuttering for 10 or 11 days. That includes Arundel Mills Mall and Pentagon City's Fashion Center and others, where they've already taken a hit because people are not spending any money, but now they're shutting down completely for at least the next 11 days. So where do people look for work? Short of Amazon, which is saying that they're spending 100,000, they want to hire 100,000 people to keep up with the demand. So are we going to look at an economic transfer of how the job market works during the midst of this? Because our officials are saying six feet away from each other, stay home.
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting, and because it goes right to the other points that I wanted to make this evening, and it is what fundamentally is going to change about the way we do work. And in fact, many employers were saying, oh, well, no, you can't work from home, you can't telework. Now they've been forced to, and so now you have to use the tools that will allow you to still work, get the work done, and deliver the services to whoever your audience is. So to that end, if I were someone looking for employment, it's just like I had an event coming up on April the 18th that was going to be at the AC Hotel in National Harbor, and so now we've made that a virtual event. Well, we'll deliver that same content, but the benefit of it really is that now anyone can attend based on geography, you know, with no, you know, you could be in another country, which we have people in our Facebook community. And by the way, if people want to join our Facebook community, they can just go to Facebook and look for the Wealthy You community, where we're having these conversations every day. So the point that I'm making, really, Harold, is that, okay, so if this is true, then you need to be looking online right now at, are there some opportunities that are work at home and where companies are adapting? Because now, so for example, I think it's Nordstrom. They're, you know, these major retailers are closing their stores, but they are not closing their online. And in fact, you know, they're incentivizing people. They're giving 20-25% discounts to buy. Well, they don't necessarily have, now they need more capacity in their fulfillment centers and on their customer service lines and that sort of thing. So that's exactly what people need to be thinking about. Amazon's about to make a huge expansion, if you're in the DMV, over in Arlington. What are the opportunities there? And so, yes, you need to be thinking about, where are my job opportunities are going to, where are they going to be if my existing role goes away?
But, and some of that is fine for the Deborah Owens of the world, but we have a lot of service jobs that are being impacted. We have waiters and waitresses. We have people who work in hotels, the cleaning staff, as well as cleaning staff for colleges and universities and the like. And what happens when you know, those kind of jobs are impacted because there were no people to clean up after. And these are low skill, no skill jobs. What happens? What should those people be doing?
Well, you know, our government is going to have to come to step up to the plate, in just in terms of retraining people. But Harold, I'm going to push on that, you know, because, you know, I see people who are on Facebook, they're doing social media, so maybe they need to learn how to take all that time that they're spending on social media. They've learned a lot. What are some of the things, how can they go get a certification program, learn, you know, how to do social media and get paid for it, right? So often I think that, you know, I was just having this conversation on Facebook with someone else, and, you know, we were talking about how artificial intelligence is impacting the trucking industry, and now trucks are driverless, and so what's going to happen to those drivers? And so I was saying, well, you know, they're going to have to be retrained and become either data analysts and that sort of thing. So somebody was challenging me, they're a truck driver. How would they know that? When in fact, there's a phenomenal company in Baltimore right now called Catalyte.io that is training average people who have no college degree, no prior knowledge of how to be a software programmer, and they're training them how to do that.
Yeah, you should have popped that person online for shading truck drivers. How about that? You're talking about truck drivers. You're kidding me.
You know, my point is it's not always aptitude for so many people. Sometimes it's just opportunity and opening the door and allowing people to come in and being shown the way.
Yeah. And I, one of the other things is we are seeing, and we don't know how temporary this is, but if you watch, you know, the various and sundry news programs, you're seeing restaurants making a shift from sitting at tables to carry out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's probably one of the things. And here's the other thing about young people too, because you have all of these students that are home from college, and they, you know, the sad thing is they're not going back. Everybody's doing, you know, online, you know, education during this last, you know, couple of months before the end of this spring semester. From your perspective, what should college students be doing right now to prepare for this new kind of uncomfortable frontier?
Well, you know, the truth is that online learning and companies like 4U, based right in Virginia, they were already delivering a lot of this content online for these major universities anyway. You know, I've been an adjunct professor. I've taught classes online. And I think, you know, it's just like anything, how an event or a circumstance forces us now, right, to adapt. And that's really the mindset that we have to have right now. You know, one of my favorite books of all time is by Dr. Carol Dweck, and she talks about the fixed mindset and the growth mindset, right? So the fixed mindset thinks that, oh, I only have a certain amount of aptitude, I only have a certain amount of intelligence, so that's all I can do. The growth mindset, the person with the growth mindset saying there's no limit, there's nothing I can't learn, and how much influencing people having a growth mindset helps them to adapt. And I really feel like it is cataclysmic events like this that causes us to have to adapt. And I think anybody in this current environment that we're in right now, Harold, has to choose to have a growth mindset and begin thinking about what is the opportunity. one of the principles in Wealthy You is, and one of the habits is having a wealth mindset, and that's viewing problems as opportunities. And so what I want folks who are listening to us to really think about, in the midst of all of this, what are the opportunities in it? What companies are going to benefit from it? So now let me take it back to my favorite place, which is investing. And so, you know, if you would look at the fallout in the market right now, you would see that many companies are declining in price. But you would also see that there's some companies that are having a silver lining. If you look at Zoom Communications, who I do all my webinars over Zoom, you know, I have client coaching, I do webinars for corporate clients over Zoom. Zoom is one of the beneficiaries of this new kind of terrain that we're going through. If you look at, you know, some of the healthcare telemedicine, you're going to see that do very well in this climate that we're in. So I really want to challenge listeners, even as they look at their investment portfolios, to really think about what are the companies that are going to do, who are going to benefit from what is, you know, I don't want to minimize what we're going through right now. It is cataclysmic. But what I have seen over my career, as someone who has been a financial consultant, a financial advisor, financial vice president, but now is interested in helping first generation investors understand the market, is that's what wealthy people do.
You know,
they look at these declines and see how they can leverage it and gain opportunity from it.
And I think you make an excellent point as it relates to not in any way, shape, or form minimizing the importance, the significance of where we are right now and the tragedy that we have seen as a result, and unfortunately as the president's administration and many of the doctors that are looking to help manage this, they say that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And no matter what you think about what, for example, the president said today about being a wartime president, I think one of the things that is true, and we have to remember, you know, our history, and you can speak to that because you touched on this, is that the economic boom that took place after World War II with the invoking of the Defense Production Act, which had, you know, major companies turn whatever it was that they made, you know, the widgets and sprockets and all of that stuff into whatever was needed to help in the defense of America during the war. And that, you know, really boosted the economy of the United States to the most powerful economic engine in the world at the end of World War II. And so as a result, not just in the United States, but you could very well see several countries innovate as a result of this. And I spoke about
right.
I spoke about this before. Lawmakers are moving faster than we've seen them move in, you know, arguably the past, you know, 12 years or more, and we are seeing pharmaceutical companies trying to address these issues because this is a worldwide crisis.
That's right. And so, and that is the point, right? So the Chinese have a caricature, and it not a caricature, but a character. And it has chaos and opportunity are two sides of the same coin, right? And so that in these times, what I have learned in my career and in, you know, being in the financial markets for decades is that that is true. There is chaos and opportunity. So going back to my first statement, it is this. It is prepare and don't panic.
Mm-hmm. One other thing before I let you have the last word was, you know, a year ago, we were just coming off of the federal government shutdown. And we saw hundreds of thousands of federal government workers not getting paid. And, you know, there is a pair of friends out in Prince George's County who started the Furlough Cheesecake Company. They were federal government workers. They weren't getting any money, so they started baking the cheesecakes, and the rest is history. They quit their jobs, and now they've got they've got this cheesecake company. And again, not minimizing where we are right now, and I have to make that clear. But again, sometimes having the need to recreate oneself does again provide opportunities. I've got about a minute or so left. What's your final word on advising people about their finances during this time?
So my final word is really, the only thing that concerns me is we're so isolated, right?
Yes.
And so because people are at home, they're quarantined, I think there is a tendency to, you know, have all of this in our heads and worrying. And, you know, worrying is like praying for what you don't want to happen. And so I really want to encourage people to use community. You know, if your church is broadcasting online, make now the time to really double click and lean into your faith. So make sure that you're, you know, attending church like you would, even though you're not going to be there. Use social media. You know, there are all kinds of groups and communities, whether they're on LinkedIn or social media, continue to have conversations. And lastly, I really want to invite folks to our community, Wealthy You. We have a community on Facebook. You just find us on Facebook, search for Wealthy You Community. And every day we're on there. In fact, this week I'm on every night at 8 o'clock, just giving my perspective, just like we've done today here.
Okay.
And then listening and answering questions.
And one other thing about that, too, when I was talking about the Furlough Cheesecake Company, they are, I said they were friends. They are, but they're also sisters. And I don't want to make sure that I got that right.
I love that.
Yeah, how about
That's
that? Deborah Owens, good to talk to you. Be safe
Always
out there during this time, and I'm sure we will continue to talk. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.